Okay, so we're at Simen Lamed. We're up to Sif Gimel. Hayaroitze Lotzeis Laderech Bahashkama. A person needs to leave early in the morning, either to work or he has a flight or whatever it may be. So what's he meant to do about tefillin? Okay, and Mishnah Berurah explains that once he starts moving, right, once he's on the way, it's going to be difficult for him to put on the tefillin for whatever reason. So his only opportunity to put the tefillin on is before Alois HaShachar even. So what's he meant to do? In other words, he'll be up throughout the time of tefillah, but he won't have the opportunity to put the tefillin on, or it'll be very cold and he won't be able to take off his coat and his hat or whatever it may be. So what is such a person meant to do? Hayoreitz Alatzis Laderech Bahashkama Menichan. He should put the tefillin on even before Alois HaShachar. Okay, so he's setting out, let's say, at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, before Alois HaShachar. He can put the tefillin on even before Alois HaShachar. Ukshiyagiyaz manan, and when comes the time to put on tefillin, yimashmesh bahem. At that point, he should move the tefillin around a bit, v'yavarech, and at that point, he should make the bracha. So again, he'll put the tefillin on, as it were, in the middle of the night, we'll call it, without a bracha, and when it comes the zman of tefillin, at that point, he should move the tefillin around a bit and make the bracha. Deleka lamecha shema yishin behen, we don't have to be concerned that he's going to fall asleep while he's wearing the tefillin. We mentioned yesterday or 2 days ago that there's an issur to sleep, wearing the tefillin. So we would think if a guy's setting out in the middle of the night, maybe he would be nervous that he's going to fall asleep. But if the guy is a balagola and he has a trip, from Vilna to Minsk, and he's setting out at 3 a.m., we're not chayshish that he's going to fall asleep because, you know, he's busy fearing the horses, as it were. Kevan shehishkim. Since he's up, right? So we're not nervous that he's going to fall asleep. And he is traveling, there's no chshash of him sleeping. So that's the Eitzah, right? If a person is in such a situation, he puts on the tefillin in the middle of the night. When it comes the Zman, at that point, he should move the tefillin around and make the bracha. Siv Dalet. Hayabo baderech. Now this halacha, to decipher the words of the Mechaber, is a little bit confusing. It's somewhat of a challenge. So for the sake of clarity, we'll speak out. Hayabo baderech, if it's a weekday, okay, this se'if is broken up into two separate scenarios. Scenario A, hayabo baderech, and a weekday. So we're talking about a Tuesday morning, a Thursday morning, whatever it may be. He's on the road, utfilin b'reishai, and he's wearing his tefillin. V'shaka olav chama, and all of a sudden, he looks up at the sky, and it's after shkia. The Mishnah Berurah clarifies that it's after tzeisak echavim, right? That's, one can wear the tefillin until tzeis hakechavim, but it's after tzeis. Oy shehaya yoshev bebeis medrash, or he was sitting and learning behasmad the rabba, mamish involved in a serious heavy tzeis with tefillin b'roisha, and he's wearing his tefillin. V'kidesh olav hayayim, and it turned into Shabbos. Okay. Yaniach yaday aleihem, so he puts his hand over his tefillin. Right, he can't take off the tefillin, because, as the Mishnah Berurah Bir Alach explains, one's not allowed to carry the tefillin on Shabbos. Furthermore, there's a big discussion in the Achrayim about tefillin being muksa, what the status of tefillin is. Some say that tefillin are muksa machmas gufay, some say that tefillin are a klisha melachte le'isser. There's a whole machlekes in the Achrayim, what the muksa status of tefillin is, and if they're muksa even at all. So one puts his hand over the tefillin to protect them, ad sheyagia labayis, until he gets home. V'im yesh bayis karav l'chayma shemishtamrim sham choltzim v'manicham sham. In those batsim, he should just take the tefillin off right there and leave them. But in those days, the Beis Medrash was in the fields, it was out in the open. Today, ein hachanami, if a person is sitting here in the groshul wearing his tefillin, and all of a sudden he realizes, oh my gosh, I was so orangutan and learning, I didn't realize it's Shabbos. Right, so then Hitaka should just take off his tefillin and leave them there. But in those days, the Beis Medrash was in the fields, and there was no option to just take off your tefillin and leave it in the middle of the field. So that's what he's talking about. One puts his hand over the tefillin and just wears them until a place where he can take them off, whether that's a bayis karev l'chaima or whether it's his own house or whatever it may be. Halacha hey, the yesh mi sha'imer shem hispal tfilas arvis mi ba'od yayim ad shalai hiniach tfilin ein lai lehanicha macharkach. So this is a very tricky situation, right? We all know about this shayla from early Shabbos. You have all kinds of questions with Svira, with asking a guy to turn the air conditioning on, right? What's the issue? The issue is somebody davens Meiriv early, right? For Ashkenazim, usually this is Negea on a Friday night, right? But for many Sfaradim, even during the week, daven Meiriv mi ba'od yayim. So what's the issue? The issue is that we know that tefillin are not worn at night. Tefillin are worn by day. So here, what happened? The guy davened Meiriv while it's still day. Okay, so Shkia is, let's say, 7:30. And he went to the early Shabbos minyan at 6 o'clock, right? So now, or 6:30, whatever it is. And now he realizes, oh my gosh, I forgot to put on tefillin, right? So, okay, so if it's Shabbos, then that's a problem. But if it's during the week, so then the Mechaber is speaking out that there are those that say that if he davened Meiriv already, so you can't wear tefillin anymore. Because for you, you already, night has set in, and one doesn't wear tefillin at night. But the Mishnah Berurah brings that the Achrayim say that one should put on tefillin without a bracha, as long as it has not yet hit Tzeis HaKoychavim. So again, for the sake of clarity, Shkia is 7:30. The guy davens Meiriv on a Tuesday night at 6:30, after Plag HaMincha. At 6:50, he realizes, oh my goodness, I forgot to put on tefillin today. He should put on tefillin without a bracha. No, I don't think so, but I would have to look that up. Simen Lamed Aleph. Din tefillin b'Shabbos v'yomtiv. I would have to look that up. I'm not sure. B'Shabbos v'yomtiv aser lahaniach tefillin mipnei shehem atzmam ois. On Shabbos and yomtiv, it's aser for one to wear tefillin because they themselves are an ois. The Mishnah Berurah brings that yomtiv sheni also is like Yom Tov. There's a tshuva in the Ksav Sefer where he has a long discussion about this, why we don't wear tefillin on the second day Yom Tov. Second day Yom Tov is a derabbanan, and tefillin is a deraisa. So l'chaira, it should be pashut that you have to wear tefillin on the second day Yom Tov. And this is a big discussion in the Achrayim. But the bottom line is that even on Yom Tov and Yom Tov Sheni, we don't wear tefillin. Mipnei shehem atzmam ois, because they themselves are considered an ois, right? By Shabbos it says ois hi beini ubeinechem, and on Yom Tov also the idea of an ois is mentioned in the psukim, and therefore we do not wear tefillin. V'im meinichem bahem ois acher haya zilzol lo ois shelahem. Should we wear tefillin, which is an additional ois? So that's a zilzol to the ois of Shabbos and Yom Tov, right? Because Shabbos and Yom Tov stand on their own, so they don't need by Kolam ois of Gerea, right? One ois is chashuv enough. If one has a second ois, so that would be a zilzal, and therefore we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. Halacha beis, b'chayla moed, gam kein aser laniach tefillin, me'atam ze ba'atzmei shevimei chayla moed, gam heim ois. Mechaber says that chayla moed is also called an ois, and therefore one does not wear tefillin. The famous Ramah, Hagav v'yeshayimrim, shechal amayit chayev b'tfilin, v'chei noegin b'kol glilois elu. In all Ashkenazic lands, the Ramah says, the minig is to wear tefillin. L'hanicham u'levarach aleim. Ela she'ein mevarachim aleim b'kol ram. Just don't scream the bracha on the top of your lungs. Make the bracha, you know, in a more muted tone. V'beis ha'knesis k'mo sh'ar yimais ha'shana, right? You make the bracha more quietly. So this week, all familiar is a tremendous, tremendous machlokes. There are people that do wear tefillin chalamoid. There are people that don't wear tefillin chalamoid. I'll just mention quickly that the minig taka was in Europe by the Litvisher that they did wear tefillin on chalamoid, even though the gain held not to wear tefillin on chalamoid, but lemaisa the minig everywhere was to wear tefillin on chalamoid. And they say over, I think about Rav Shach and the Brisker Rav and Rabbi Zalman and many Gedolim, that when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they were like stunned that people don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and like they had a very hard time with it. You know, it meant like changing their minig from their whole life. So they.
Brisker Rav, because the Brisker
in Eretz Yisrael.
Anywhere.
Okay. But Lamaisa, after Yom Tif, they wore, the Brisker Rav also, after Yom Tif, perhaps even though he didn't wear on Chol HaMoed, but after Yom Tif, he and they wore tefillin for extra time to make up the missing time. In other words, let's say we wear tefillin for an extra 5-10 minutes a day to make up the time that they lost wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. And the lamdas behind that is because there's a tzad to say that there's no chiyuv to wear tefillin every day. Tefillin, again, we don't paskin this way, but there is such a tzad that tefillin is a mitzvah, but it's not something that has to be done every day. So as long as your total time wearing tefillin is the same, the fact that you lost the days wouldn't make a difference. So again, we don't paskin that way, but al kolpanim, as a hiddur for themselves, after Yom Tov, to make up the lost time, they would wear tefillin extra.
The Gemara in Eruvin, the Kriyat Ashiri, discusses saving tefillin on Shabbos. If you find them lying somewhere, could be Zayon, could actually take them, put them on.
Correct, yes. Wearing tefillin as a malbush on Shabbos is permitted, yes.
Where does the Shulchan Aruch bring that?
In these halachas over here, this is because we just said that he can wear the tefillin even though it's after shkia on Shabbos. He can keep it on him as a malbush.
What's the svar that one os is mezalzel the other one? Like what's the svar behind that?
Seems obvious to me. It's the chashivas of one thing. The taking on an extra one is memayat the chashivas of the first one. I think the Svara makes sense.
So it stands to reason that it's an Isser Shabbos, it's not an Isser Tefillin in Aleph.
Correct, for sure, yeah.
So if Yoel reminds me of the Rosh's request, questions.
Simen Lamed Beis, Seif Aleph. Mitzvahs Tefillin Sheyichtoiv Arba Parshias. So this is the meat of Hilchas Stam. Much of Hilchas Stam is found in Simen Lamed Beis. It's one of the longest simonim in Shulchan Aruch. Mitzvah tefillin sheyichtoiv arba parshis. What is the mitzvah of tefillin? The mitzvah of tefillin is that one writes four parshis. Shehein kadosh li kol bachor ad lamoy ada miyamim yamima v'haya ki v'yacha ad ki b'chayzek yod haitzianu Hashem mitzrayim. Parshas Shema ad uvisharecha, Parshas Vahayim Shamaya ad al ha'aretz. So these four parshias are the four parshias of mitzvah tefillin, and the reason for that is because these are the four parshias in the Torah where the mitzvah of tefillin is mentioned. Okay, in other words, it's not random that we chose these four parshias because we like them or for any other reason. The reason is because mitzvah tefillin is found in these four parshias. Hagos says the Ramah, "V'tzarech lekosvam kiseder hazeh." So this is a halacha called kisidron. Lichtayv tchila hakedemis b'teira, that one has to write the parashias kisidron. First, he has to write kaddish, which comes first in the Torah. Then he has to write v'haya ki v'yacha, which comes second in the Torah. Then he has to write shema, which comes third in the Torah. And then he has to write v'hayim shemaya, which comes fourth in the Torah. If one would write the third parasha before the second parasha, the tefillin would be posel. One would not be yotze the mitzvah, it would be a bracha levatala. The parshias themselves are kosher, which means as follows. Let's say he wrote the third parasha before the second parasha. So these four parshias cannot be used in a pair of tefillin together because the third parasha was written before the second parasha. But if he finds parasha 1 and 2 written 5 years ago, he can take those, use the Shema that he wrote today, now go and write a V'hayim Shemaya, and he'll have four kosher parashias. So that's an important thing to be aware of. It's very negeh lahalacha. Also, it's negeh every day for Seifrim, if there's a psul in a parasha, so it doesn't mean that you have to throw out all four parashias. V'im shina, posel. If one changed the order of the parashias, it's posel. L'chatchila, well, let's hold on to l'chatchila for a second. Just want to mention that this halacha of Kesidron does not only apply to the parashias, but it applies to the letters as well. So let's say you're writing the parasha Shema, right? So it starts with the Shin, and then a Mem, and then an Ayin. So let's say first the person wrote the Mem, and then he wrote the Shin. And then he writes the ayin and continues everything in order. The tefillin are pasul. They're not kosher, you cannot make a bracha on it. So this din of Kesidron applies to Parshius and applies to Osius. Ulechatchila, yichtav shel yad, kaidim shel roish. Lechatchila, the shel yad should be written before the shel roish. Why? Because in the pasuk it says, uksharatim lois al yadecha, and then it says, v'hayu lechaitav is bein einecha. So shema, so the shel yad is mentioned in the pasuk before the shel roish. So lechatchila, so this is not a din in Kesidron, this is just an inyan. The Arizal argues, and the Arizal says that since the Shel Rosh is more chashuv than the Shel Yad, has more kedusha, so one should write the Shel Rosh first, because the more kaddish should come first. But the Rama says no, that we go according to the order that they mentioned in the pasuk. Halacha beis Shel Rosh yichtav kol achas. What's the halacha lemais about what? Chassidim follow the Arizal generally, and non-Chassidim follow the Ramah. That's the standard operating procedure today. I'll mention that the minig of the Chassidim is not so pashut, because the Arizal, who says that the Shel Rosh should be written first, says explicitly that the Shel Rosh should be written first, put into the batim, closed up, and then the Shel Yad should be written. And that they don't do. They write the Shel Rosh, then they write the Shel Yad, and then they sell it to the client. So it's really, the minig is, it's not so pashut, but lamaisa, that's the minig. That we're not noyeg at all, because all the achreinim bring that leads to a tremendous michshel, and one should avoid that minig, and anybody who says that they keep that minig, it's probably best to buy tefillin from somebody else. So there is an Indian LP Kabbalah, but practically it's not shayach. Beis, Shel Rosh yichtav kol achas beklaf levada. The Shel Rosh should be written on four separate pieces of klaf. V'shel yad kaisvan kulam beklaf echad. The Shel Yad is written on one piece of klaf. Okay, because it says... because it says v'haya la'ois al yodcha, so la'ois means it's mashma ois achas, right? So the Shel Yad is one long piece of klaf. The Shel Rosh is written on four pieces of klaf. So it's the same four parashiyos in the same order. Just here it's one piece of klaf, and here it's multiple pieces of klaf. But the evid, it's not ma'akiv, even if the Shel Yad is written on four pieces of klaf. But lechatchila, it's written on one. The minig today is that if for whatever reason it's written on two pieces of klaf, you glue it together. That's not uncommon. Halacha gimel. Yichtevein b'diyoy shachar. When writing tefillin, one needs to write the tefillin with black ink. Bein sheyesh b'mei afotzim, bein sheloi b'mei afotzim. What this means is, in order to create ink, there are three ingredients that are used. There's what's called gall nuts. Gall nuts are a scab on a tree. In other words, you have a worm which bites a leaf or the trunk of a tree, and the tree grows a scab. That scab looks like a marble. It's a small ball, and that's called a gall nut. If you collect those gall nuts and you have them, there's then another ingredient that's called kankantine. Kankantine is mined from the earth, and it's like a green glass-like rock. And if you grind that up and you mix kankantine with the gall nuts, right, you crush the gall nuts, you take water, you crush the gall nuts, you add it in. So it looks like tea or coffee. It turns like brownish. You then grind up the kankantine, that rock, it looks like sugar. You add it in, and there's a chemical reaction, and it turns black. Okay? So that's how diyoy is made. They then add in guma. Guma is like a binding agent. It gives it a certain thickness. It's like a sap, which gives the liquidy diyoy gives it more body. So that's today how we make diyoy. And those are the ingredients that we're going to be introduced to now. So, yichtevein b'diyoy shachar, one needs to write with black ink. Ben sheyesh by me'afatzim, ben sheloy by me'afatzim. If one can create a black ink without the gall nuts, so that's fine, as long as one has black ink. Hagoah says to Ramo, l'chatchila yachmir lechtoy b'diyoy ha'asuya me'ashan etzim. The Ramo throws in an idea that one should add carbon into the ink, right? When ashan is carbon, if you have a fireplace and you make a fire, so that produces carbon. If you hold a glass on top of the fire, on top of the leichter on Shabbos, on the ceiling, there's a big black spot there. What's that? That's carbon, which goes up and collects above the fire. So the Rama says that carbon created by burning wood is ideal for diyoy. Oy shmonim shruyim b'me'afatzim. Alternatively, oils which are soaked in the aforementioned gallnut juice. Again, all these seemingly primitive ingredients, lamaisa, are still used today. Yes, it is carbon produced by burning oils. Yes. Let's say a person, right, we said a second ago that the ink has to be black. So let's say somebody wrote something in a different color, right? He wrote something in red. It seems like it wasn't uncommon, because this case comes up many times across rabbinic literature, where they would write in gold. They thought that they were being mechabed kisvei HaKodesh by writing in gold. Somebody told me, even in our times, that his grandfather donated a Navi in Canada somewhere, and the Balkari took it out, and the first letter of the Navi was written in gold. So apparently there is still a zecher of such a minig. So if somebody wrote in a different color or in gold, harei elu psulin, that's possible, because as we said, it has to be black. Imzarak afrezov. An alternate version of gold, right? Instead of writing in gold, one takes gold glitter and he tosses gold glitter on the letters. Mavir hazav, v'yishor ksav hatachtein v'kosha. So what this means is as follows. Somebody wrote a pair of tefillin. The tefillin are be'etzem kosher. There's nothing wrong with them. The letters are still wet, right? They haven't yet dried. So he takes gold glitter, gold dust, and he sprinkles it on top of the letters. Okay, so now, for all intents and purposes, he passed the tefillin, because they're not black anymore, now they're gold. But one can take a scalpel and peel off those pieces of gold glitter, and the tefillin will return to their kosher state. That's the chiddush of the mechaber over here. It's not tasa v'lo min asli, it's not shalai kesidron, and it's going to be kosher. Correct, that's exactly the chiddush. If the gold glitter is on it, but if the gold was thrown on a letter of a shem Hashem, ain lay takana, then you're stuck. There's nothing you could do about it. Lefisha aser lahavir hazav, it's going to be aser to remove the gold glitter. Mishum dahavi kemoichekas Hashem, we saw a few parashiyos ago that there's an issur d'oraisa to erase the Shem Hashem. So if one tosses gold glitter onto a letter of a Shem Hashem, so now there are two pshatim of why this is mechikas Hashem. One is because you have a Shem that's black and gold, and when you take off the gold, so that Shem Hashem is gone. Now you have a Shem that's all black, so that's like mechikas Hashem, because the black and gold Shem disappeared. That's one pshat. The other pshat is because the physical removal of the glitter is going to take off some ink with it, and that's going to be Mechikas Hashem. But be that as it may, if one has such a scenario, he is stuck. Also, lahavir azov mishum davi kamech, so the tefillin are not going to be kosher, you're not allowed to remove the glitter, and you're stuck. Halacha dalet, tzarech shalei tidbak shum ois bechaverta. When writing tefillin, or mezuzis, or sefer Torah, one cannot have two letters touching each other. Ela kol ois tia mukefes gvil. Mukefes gvil means as follows. Gvil is parchment. Okay, there's different types of parchments. There are parchments made up of half of the skin. This parchment's made up of the whole skin. That's not our subject now. But gvil, for our purposes, we'll just use the generic term of parchment. So every letter has to be mukefes gvil, surrounded by parchment. So if you have two letters which are touching each other, by definition, each of those two letters is not surrounded by parchment. Because in the spot where they're touching, right, let's say you have Siamese twins. So if a person has to be mukefes avir, surrounded by air. So in the spot where he's attached to his twin, he's not surrounded by air. So it's the same concept over here. If you have two letters which are touching each other, they are not going to be what's called mukaf gvil, and the tefillin will not be kosher. So again, tzara shalei tidbak shum ois b'chaberto, two letters should not be touching each other. Ela kol ois tehei mukaf es gvil, every letter must be surrounded by parchment. Hago, v'yichtev ksiva tama, the writing should be wholesome. What does that mean? Shalei yechser afilu kutzei shel yud. Let's say you have a person, chas v'shalom, missing an arm, right? So he's not tam, he's not whole. He's missing a part of his body, chalila, right? So a letter as well should be whole. It shouldn't be missing any part of the letter, right? Afilu kutze shel yud. What's a kutze shel yud? A kutze shel yud means, there's a big machloik is what kutze shel yud means, but it can mean any one of the following three things. A yud is a square, we'll call it, and it has a leg coming down on the right. It has a kites coming down on the left, and it has a kites going up on the left. Okay, if we have the opportunity, maybe we'll show you what a yud looks like. But that's three different protrusions coming out of the yud. So none of those protrusions should be missing. Okay, the writing should be wholesome. It shouldn't be missing anything, even a kutzei shel yud. There are letters which have crowns. Some letters have three crowns, some letters have one crown, but the letters that need crowns should have crowns. Ulechatchila yichtav ksiva gasa ksas. Lechatchila, the writing should not be thin, rather it should have a certain amount of body. It should be thick. Why? Shalayu nimchakim meheris, that they shouldn't become erased quickly. The fact is that if a letter is frail and it's thin, so then it's going to erase with the passage of time. And this is a fact, even today, letters which are written very thin often fade relatively quickly, whereas letters that are written with more body often will last longer. Now, sometimes with more body, there could be a different issue, that they could pop off the cloth. That's a different discussion, but at least in terms of this idea of the letter becoming erased quickly, if the letter has more body, it certainly, generally speaking, will last longer. V'chein mitzvah liyapoysan mibachutz umibifnim, and there's a mitzvah to be miyapa the tefillin externally and internally, which is a chiddush. It's not so pashut, because one would think, why do I need nice parshias in my tefillin? Nobody sees them anyway. What zekeli vanveyu is there on something which is not visible? Indeed, the Rambam, the Maril, the Gro, and many others hold that there is no zekeli vanveyu on parshias of tefillin. The Rama is coming la'afuke those days. The Rama is paskining not like the Rambam and not like the Gro and the Maril that hold. The Gro came later, but you get the point. He's paskening not like those shitas that there's no zekeli vanveyu on something which is not visible. Rather, he's paskening like the Arzarua and the Mardchai and others who hold that there is zekeli vanveyu even on something which is not seen, because Hashem sees, and we're doing things beautifully for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if people won't necessarily see them. Halacha, hey, tzarech sheyichtav biyaminoi, the tefillin have to be written with one's right hand. Afilu im hu shoylet b'shtei yadav, even if he's ambidextrous. Vimkasa b'smol psulim. If a right-handed person writes with his left hand, the tefillin are pasul. However, as far as the ambidextrous case, that would actually be kosher. It's not recommended, but it would be kosher. So when it says vimkasa b'smol psulim, that's going back on the first statement that a righty needs to write with his right hand. I'm sorry? A lefty can write, yes, absolutely, yes. Yeah, this is not dine kahuna, this is a dine ksiva, and for dine ksiva, one needs to write with his natural hand, so a left-handed person would write with his left hand, which the Mechaber is going to say in a second. Im efshe limtze acherim ksuvim biyamin, right? This is, if one can find tefillin written with the right hand, then the tefillin written with the left hand are possible. If one cannot find tefillin written with the right hand, that is the only tefillin one has available, a tefillin written by a righty with his left hand, so then he should put the tefillin on, but he should not make a bracha. V'iter yad, right? This is what you were asking. Smol didei have a yamin, a left-handed person. So his left hand is his right hand, which means he should write with his left hand if he's left-handed.